Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City. We got a great show for you tonight. We got some drivers on the show. We got the reports from Jonathan Green over in New Zealand at the Toyota Racing Series. And we're going to talk a little, Les, it feels like that it's not the middle of winter with race season off, because I was watching Formula E, which, by the way, I really enjoyed. And I do mean to have that tone of surprise in my voice, because our producer loves that Formula E music. But yes, it was, I forgot. I was watching Formula E and the racing was good enough. The cars are faster that I forgot it was all electric. I was just enjoying the racing.
The cars look faster. I watched the same race and, they look quicker. They look more confident in their steering. I mean, I don't know what is changing about it as far as making them look better in the turns, but it definitely is working out, and you're seeing that expression of speed as they race.
Yeah, well, it was fun to watch, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But yeah, we've got, I'm going to talk about our guest, because we have a gentleman, he's calling it from Spain, Alex Riberas, and he is going to be racing. He was down at the Roar. Yep. He's going to be racing in the Rolex 24 Hours of Daytona, and he's racing for an Austin-based race team, More Speed.
That's right. David More Speed and Price Cobb. You'll recognize Price Cobb from the Porsche history he garnered there.
Le Mans winner, yeah.
Yeah, and so a lot of things going on. Alex is really well-known and has been progressing well overseas. He came and is just super excited to get into this.
Yeah, I know this guy's he's an enthusiastic guy, and I actually got to see the car. I went over to More Speed over near Coda. I don't know, it was a couple weeks ago, but I saw this Audi R8. It is a gorgeous. It's an Audi R8 LMS. So it's one of their factory racing program cars. So it's obviously based on a production car, but the one I saw, and I wish I'd seen it the day it arrived, but I saw it and it was basically all stripped out, all the interior stripped
right
out. And that probably is the way it comes, since it's a
body
LMS
in white
car
kind of thing.
Yeah. I guess the next step above a body in white maybe, but anyway, it was a gorgeous looking Audi R8 and, roughly 600 horsepower V10, obviously based on the balance of power.
I hate that balance of power.
Was it performance or power?
I
always call
it,
it's BOP. Yeah. Anyway, it's that's a beautiful car, and they're going to be racing that at Rolex. So we're going to talk to Alex a little bit here in just a few minutes. But we also are going to talk to Jonathan's down in New Zealand at the Toyota Racing Series, which I got to watch a lot of that yesterday too, because, and that's on today. It's on and they're doing it on YouTube live streaming. And it's working out really well. And you can go to our website, speedcitybroadcast.com, and see a link to all of that, and also our Twitter and Facebook and all that. We'll put out some links. But yeah, the Toyota Racing Series down there. Cameron Doss came in sixth in race two that I watched. And we've got a little clip from Cameron here in a few minutes. And yep, Toyota Racing Series moving along great as usual. All those young drivers and all the, you know, the season within a 5 week span. It's fun to keep up with that. So, but let's go back and talk a little bit about the Formula E, because you talked about it. The cars, they look faster. They look more, I don't know, they just look more like a real car. I don't know why. And the style of the cars looks great.
Well, I think, you know, the technology around the electric vehicles is certainly advancing. And I think, you know, having the single car, no more, you know, car swaps as we did in the beginning of Formula E, I think all of that is making it better. And I think they're responding also to what the audience wants to see. I mean, those of us that, you know, love the thundering engines and all of that, I don't know what they're going to be able to do about that to overcome the golf cart sound, but it's definitely visually much better than it was even just 2 years ago.
Yeah, and you know, yes, of course you miss that, but when I was watching it on television, I don't know about maybe in person, just maybe that's an experience they're going to have to deal with, but watching it on television, I forgot. Like I said, I was watching the race, and you know, it was competitive, and I just kind of forgot about it. But speaking of the race itself, BMW looked great, right? And the Andretti team looked great. They were kicking butt. And then they, as Steve Matchett put it on the television broadcast on Fox, he said they broke the golden rule. They ran into each other. The two BMW drivers ran into each other and took one of them out and did not end up winning the race. They were going to, you know, look like they were going to be
able
to win.
Well, that always livens the race up. Yeah. Or at least the garage.
Yeah, I was going to say that livens up the post-race meetings quite a bit.
Yeah, it is. But I'm happy to see that improving. I want to be a fan. It was a real struggle, you know, for a while, but this race was definitely better than I've seen.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that this is they're moving in the right direction. They're making the big difference from being this year and last year is that the cars have enough battery. They have a lot more energy in the battery, and they can go the entire race instead of swapping cars. And so it was, you know, just that in itself makes it a little more interesting. But and there was some special guests there. Mercedes AMG F1 boss.
I did see that.
Toto Wolff was there.
Along with the strategist.
Yeah. Did you notice the caption when they showed Toto Wolff? It said, husband of Susie Wolff and team principal. I was like, what? Why is that his title?
Hey, he gets paid the same.
I don't know. Anyway, I just enjoyed the fact that they did that. But yeah, it was good, and it was good racing, and again, I think it's probably going to be, we'll probably end up liking it more and more as we go along.
Oh, I think so. You know, it was only their second race of the season at Marrakesh, and so next up is Santiago, Chile. That is January 26th. But then, what I'm really interested in seeing is when they get to Mexico City in February. I want to see how that plays out. Just continue to refine everybody getting things rolling for this season.
Yeah.
The second race is better. I'm waiting on the third and especially the fourth.
Well, Jerome Ambrosio won the Marrakesh E-Prix, and it was interesting that some of the, like Sam Bird looked great. He was a pole position qualifying. He looked great during the race. But one stat that I heard during the race, which was interesting, is that now we haven't had I was thinking about all the different Formula One drivers in here in Formula E. The big stat that stood out to me was the fact that all four champions that in the first four seasons were all ex-Formula One drivers.
Oh, yeah. I think there's definitely skill required, obviously. But, you know, is that where the horse gets put out to pasture?
Yeah, well, yeah. I don't know. I mean, Felipe Massa is a good example, just leaving Formula One. But what, now on the BMW crash, when the two drivers, DaCosta and Sims, Alexander Sims, collided, I really wasn't. Did you have an opinion on who? To me, I couldn't really blame one or the other there.
No, That one was a hard call on it, and so I just I'm not that involved. I'm not that invested in the racing yet to really get too angry about it or whatever.
Yeah, I'll have to admit the same thing. I'm not there yet. I agree. But yeah, it was anyway. It was good racing, and I'm glad that they did make the changes they did. So it's definitely looking better. So all right. So what about some? What about, you know, we've got IndyCar coming to Austin, and in fact, we've got testing coming sooner than that.
Even better. I'm ready for the track to get hot, and it will do so on the 12th of February. And so I'm seriously excited for this.
Well, they came out with the announcement, COTA did, talking about pricing of the both the race. That's been out for a little bit, but the pricing of the practice coming up next month.
That's right. And so if you've already got your 3-day general admission passes, those are $85. With that, you automatically get in for the IndyCar training day on February 12th. If you haven't, or you only want to go to the training day, I don't know why you'd do that, but okay. That's $20 to get in. So great day there, but I'm looking forward. I'll be out there checking everything out.
Yeah, obviously that's going to be one of the most exciting things in our little world here in Austin, Texas, is an IndyCar coming to COTA. And what are the dates? So we got the race. The big race is on the 22nd of March through the 24th. That's the race weekend. And then the February test is
February 12th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, February 12th. That's right.
Yeah, so we'll put that link out on Facebook here shortly.
Or you can go to you. In Dakota's website. You know, they have a new website address. It's thecircuit.com.
There you go.
Instead of circuitoftheamericas.com. You can go to the old one, but how they got that domain. Anyway, all right, guys. Well, let's go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we are going to have our guest with us. We're going to have Alex Riberas, the driver for More Speed, heading out to Daytona pretty quick.
Yeah,
listen,
buddy.
To Speed City. We're in Austin, Texas. Back after these messages.
Super Lap Battle USA is coming to Circuit of the Americas this February. It's the ultimate time attack challenge where top drivers compete for the fastest lap times in fully tuned track-built cars. February 16th and 17th brings time attack racing to COTA's 3.4-mile track. There'll be Lone Star Drift ride-alongs, Rally Ready and Lone Star Drift demonstrations, World Challenge TC America open testing, a car meet, and more. Family-friendly fun and free to attend. February 16th and 17th at Circuit of the Americas. SuperLapBattleUSA.com.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers. The best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride. Or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
Talk 1370.
Hi guys, I'm Dan Ticktum, winner of the 2018 Macau Grand Prix 65th edition, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. We were talking IndyCar coming to Austin. We're going to talk some more about that later in the show. We're also going to talk some more Toyota Racing Series. Because Jonathan has done some interviews down there in New Zealand. Yeah, Jonathan's not going to be on the show today because of the time difference, but he's got those interviews he sent us. But next up, we are really excited because we have a young man who is a driver and is going to be racing at the Rolex 24 at Daytona. And we want to welcome to the show Alex Riberas.
Hello, everybody. Thank you very much. Pleasure to be with you guys.
Hey, well, welcome. And, you know, hey, you're now in the Speed City family, but more importantly, you've joined the More Speed family. And this is awesome stuff. You're racing in their new campaign, but let's give the audience a little background to your background. I know you were dabbling in single-seaters, and then you went to some of the Porsche works around 2013. Give us some background on that.
Oh, yeah. First of all, I'm extremely excited to join More Speed and their family. This project is absolutely a dream. And basically Porsche did change my career somehow in 2013 when they signed me for the junior program. So that really changed my whole concept of my racing career. So instead of trying to follow my dream of Formula One, I wanted to become a sports car, a race car driver. And therefore, I spent 3 years under the Porsche Junior program, which was an amazing experience. And I learned a lot from that, for sure.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, I know when you came into the Porsche program, you were also running in the Cup Series and the Carrera Series. You had pretty good success there.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, in the beginning, it was quite tough transition, you know, from single-seaters to sports cars. It takes a while to change your driving style, understand the physics of it. But eventually, the results came. I managed to score my first and only Porsche Super Cup win, which gave me also a P4 overall result in the championship. And thanks to that, I got the opportunity to move to the American side of racing and sign a contract with Porsche and Alex Job Racing to race full-time in the IMSA Championship, which was so far my favorite year of racing and the one I enjoyed the most.
Well, Alex, I was over at More Speed, I guess about a week or so ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, and I saw this gorgeous 2019 Audi R8 LMS sitting there, and the guys were all working on it, and so that's the car that you're going to be racing, I know. But how was it at the Roar getting ready? How was getting set up and all that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the car, you have to admit that the car is gorgeous. Like, no matter what happens on track, we've got a great, great looking livery. And I already told David, like, well, the good looking part, we got it done. That is off the list. Next thing is to make it fast, right?
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, I always say any car on Victory Circle looks amazingly beautiful regardless. Right. So the Roar was more about getting into all the details of the new car, make sure that we understand how it works. There's a lot of new information for us. You know, the team has a lot of experience on its own individuals, but it's a new team to the series. So we need to get together as a team. It's a very family oriented team. And I love that, you know, the energy inside the team, the crew is fantastic. And the Roar was about getting us together, understanding the car, and start to make some developments on the setup, which we achieved. And I'm thinking we're going to be in good shape for the race. At least that's what I want. That's what I want to expect.
Well, with the likes of Price Cobb and David Moore sitting behind you, that's got to be good. But you got one of our favorite drivers around, our own hometown, Will Hardiman, joining in. You picked up some great sponsorships in Bardol and the Audi Tire Center. So, you know, Continental Auto Group is another big one that's always there. You're loaded for bear. You're good to go for this Daytona 24 this year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, it's fantastic to have Bardol and Audi Tire Center on board. I think we've got exactly the right elements, and Will fits the whole combination just in a fantastic way, because you know, his will to improve, it's like amazing. I have never seen such a dedicated driver, and this is what it takes right now. You know, he's learning fast. He's got a huge amount of potential, and I already told him my dream or my vision for the next years is to work together, become the strongest partnership in the IMSA series, which is, in my opinion, one of the most competitive championships in the world right now. So it's a big challenge, but I'm very lucky, I would say, to have David and the engineer group and Will around me in the team. And I think if we do the right kind of work and we have the luck on our side, we should be able to do some impressive work out there.
Well, what are the things that you guys were working on at the Roar? What, you know, obviously you got a brand new car and everybody getting set up. What are some of the challenges of doing that? I mean, you guys are starting from ground zero with a brand new car and a new set of drivers for all this car. What were the things you guys were working on?
Well, there's a few things that are mandatory to understand. First of all, the data system, to understand how to analyze all the information we get from the car. That's a new system for us. So the whole group of engineers was, not struggling, but just it's a whole process to learn how it works. And that was fundamental, and we got it done. So that was very important. And on the other side, the R8 is a car that has already performed, and it's clearly one of the best cars out there. I raced with it all season 2018 in Europe, and I knew the car very well, but the package of aerodynamics is brand new. So we have to understand as well how this new evolution affected our speed in the straights, how much track we were producing, and how we could play with that to maximize our grip on the fast corners, like the bus stop and the infield, but still maintain a good top speed. And I think right now that's going to be one of the most important things for the race.
Well, I know all of that, not only the hurdle of the new car, but that takes a lot of dialing in. And I know those guys will be all over it, as they were even before they went to the Roar. As they go on, is this R8 very different from what you've been driving?
Well, no, basically, the structure, the essence of the car is the same. The R8 is a very well-balanced car. It's got its middle engine. And the weight distribution is fantastic. It's a very agile car in the corners. So that is kept as the same. It's just that with the new aero package, the car seems to be more stable on the fast corners and on braking. So I think, if anything, the car feels better than before. Also, for us and for everybody in the paddock, we've got a new tire compound coming in for this year. We've got Michelins instead of Continentals, which is a huge change as well. So understanding how the car reacts to that tire is another big point, not only for the engineers, but also for the drivers. Especially for a 24-hour race, you need to understand how to take care of the tires.
Absolutely. And I know that is such a big play. I mean, we talk about it around the Formula One racing so much, but sports cars go through it just as well. I just think man, you're sitting pretty for a great run at Daytona this year with Will by your side and Price, Cobb, and David Moore behind you. So that's got to be a good feeling coming. Have you been to the Daytona 24 before?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's my feeling right now, it couldn't be any better. I'm just, my friends even tell me that I'm smiling all day, and it's because this challenge that comes ahead is so exciting. Especially when you're going to do it with great people, it's even better, because you know that, of course, anything can happen, but at least you will have a shot to do a good performance out there. And our third driver, Andrew Davies, and the fourth, Marcus Winkelhock, are also amazing drivers. So I'm feeling pretty good. I mean, it's going to be a long race, tough race. We still got to receive the BOP. But it's going to be my fourth time doing the 24 hours of Daytona. And on the previous three, I always had so much fun. Unfortunately, I never got to finish it. Or I got to finish it, but with several mechanical issues. So I would say if this edition goes without any sort of issues, we should be fighting for the top.
Did you say you had not gotten the BOP rating for the car yet? I know that's just part of the deal. You said you had not?
Yeah, we haven't received it for the race yet. We had one for the Roar, but we are expecting to have a new one for the race, and that's obviously going to determine our performance and the performance of our main competitors as well. But that is something that the series is going to take care of. We have nothing to do about it. You can only accept it and trust that they do a good job. And I'm sure IMSA has enough experience to give us a fair BOP for this race and a chance to fight for what's going to be one of the biggest Rolex 24-hour races in the history.
That BOP, we love it, we hate it. I don't know what. I always feel like it's a poker game in how hard you actually drive before you get your BOP for the first race. I get one right out of the gate or not, but that's such a challenge. With So I know that, Alex, you got one more reason to smile, and I hear you're moving to Texas.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, that has always been my dream. You know, ever since I raced in America, in IMSA, back in 2016, I told my manager, who is, by the way, American, and Ian James, a fantastic manager from Phoenix. So I was like, yo, please get me a drive in IMSA because I want to move to the States. I want to move to somewhere where I like it. And Austin was one of my favorite cities. So when the team told me that they liked me to move here, I was like straight away say I said yes for sure, let's do it. So yeah, I'm very much looking forward to it. In February I'm gonna move there, and yeah, like it's gonna be amazing because Will already told me like, yo, we have to be at the sim every day 8 a.m. Are you down? And I was like, man, I'm down 100%. Like this is amazing. It's exactly what you dream of.
Alex, that's exciting. Austin is a fun place. You'll definitely enjoy us. Alex Riberas, thank you for coming on Speed City. We really appreciate it. We want to wish you guys at More Speed and all the other drivers the best of luck at the Daytona 24, and we will talk to you soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, thank you very much, guys. It's been a pleasure to be in Speed City, and hopefully we can hear each other again and to talk about some good results. So
yeah, there you go.
Let's work into that.
Fantastic. Travel safe, buddy.
Thanks, Alex.
All right. Thank you so much, guys. Be safe.
All right. Well, that's exciting to have a gentleman on the show coming.
He likes fajitas and tacos and barbecue.
Know, he sounds pretty excited about Austin, doesn't he? Moving to Texas.
Right.
All right, guys. We're going to go straight to a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little more IndyCar and a little more Toyota Racing Series. You're listening to Speed City. We're in Austin, Texas. Back after these messages.
Hey beer people, it's Christine Sellis.
And I'm Daytona.
Sellis Brewery is back in Austin and brewing again.
Oh, Sellis doesn't ring a bell for some of you?
Well, for the last 17 years, we've been crafting the perfect comeback. We've returned to our roots with Sellis White, a famous local favorite.
Plus, we're creating some fresh new brews.
And whether it's the first time you've tasted our family's legendary beer,
or the millionth,
we're thrilled to be back.
Swing by your local store, watering hole, or our brewery, and let's catch up over beers.
Sellis, Austin's original craft brewery.
Super Lap Battle USA is coming to Circuit of the Americas this February. It's the ultimate time attack challenge where top drivers compete for the fastest lap times in fully tuned track-built cars. February 16th and 17th brings time attack racing to COTA's 3.4-mile track. There'll be Lone Star Drift ride-alongs, Rally Ready and Lone Star Drift demonstrations, World Challenge TC America open testing, a car meet, and more. Family-friendly fun and free to attend. February 16th and 17th at Circuit of the Americas. SuperLapBattleUSA.com.
So, I hear you like listening to Talk 1370. That's very good. Now, what do I got to do to get you to listen a little bit more?
It's an offer you can't refuse. The Big Cash Bribe on Talk 1370. Your chance to win $1,000 every hour, every weekday between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Right after CBS News on the Hour. Listen for the secret keyword and text it to 72881.
Take the cash and the cannoli.
Message and data rates apply in this multi-market contest. You probably won't wake up with a horse head in your bed.
Talk 1370.
Hi, this is Rusty Wallace, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Welcome back to Speed City. We're in the beautiful, wonderful city of Austin, Texas.
Oh, yeah, bright and sunny today.
Yeah, it has been a sunny day today.
It's about 100% chance of pollen and allergies.
Man, I am miserable. I got sick this week because of all the allergies.
I will say that is the downfall of Austin, Texas this
time
of
year. Yeah, it's true, man. That is true. But we make that up by having Circuit of the Americas across town. Yeah. So how about that?
I don't know if you can get a prescription written for that, but it works for me.
That's a good one. I like that.
Let's write it off. Let's try submitting it on insurance.
Speaking of that, we talked a little bit about it earlier, but we got IndyCar coming to Austin. And, you know, this has been such a long time coming for us. And, you know, I kept thinking that this was going to happen sooner and sooner and sooner. But, you know, over the years, I thought, you know, they're bound to be able to work this out. And I know the big deal with Eddie Gossage up there in Dallas.
Yeah, I don't know that he particularly likes Speed City. I don't know what his opinion of us is, because we've always asked IndyCar drivers ever since the beginning, how would you like to drive in Austin?
Yeah. Whenever they were in Dallas.
Yeah. He's been very protective of that ownership.
But well, anyway, that's all behind us now. So.
Well, you know what? Here's what I'll say about it. IndyCars, I think, has the chance to rival, yes, I'm saying it, to rival the Formula One attention here in Austin. I think the attendance from folks that are state-bound or even Mexico, I think it's going to be big. I think it's really going to be big.
You know what? I won't argue with that at all, because I don't know, this first year, maybe you might get the first year bump or whatever you want to call it with all the excitement, but mainly because of the trajectory of IndyCar. You know, I don't know. I haven't looked at the television numbers.
Oh, but, I'll tell you about the television numbers.
But just from the feel of the sport, having it looks like it has great momentum. Indy does, and the racing, they got that right, because the passing and the excitement in the race is over the top, and they got great personalities in the race, and you know, and then you've got people like Alonso who. Everybody wants to get over here and race at least the Indy 500, if not the entire season. So, you know, who knows what might happen here in Austin. But, yeah, you said you got some television numbers?
You bet. So television is free to air, no major cable required, is going to offer 350 hours through a subscriber base, but also everything 60% availability up for 2019. This year, primarily NBC, NBCSN, and the online streaming app. So check that out. That is positively wicked to get that kind of attention.
So 60% more is available free is what you're saying. This year over last year.
They're going to televise all 17 races this year. 8 on NBC, including the 103rd running. And then 5 races will be aired on network TV, split between ABC and NBCSN. So okay. Check that out. Yeah. How is that for exposure? They know it's there. I think that is going to, you know, continue to help give them an increase. There's a lot of things going on this year that I think are going to help out. You know, there's some activities around, and this is one I wish I could make it to. This is the 50th anniversary of Mario Andretti's 1969 Indy 500 win.
Wow. God, that's crazy.
Yeah, Mario's always such a friendly person in the paddock to everybody. I just got to imagine his fan base is just going to be swelling with pride and celebrations this year.
Yeah, huge. That's pretty amazing. So let's talk about the IndyCar training. We talked about it earlier before the break, but it was in the first segment. It's February 12th. And you say the tickets are going to be $20 unless you buy tickets to the IndyCar Classic, the full race.
The actual race. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, on March 24th. And those tickets will get you, apparently those will get you into, they're calling it the spring training, on February 12th.
And the next question is, how much do I pay for parking? For spring training, zero zip, nada. Come park in parking lot A. Free parking. Kids under 12 receive a complimentary admission with their adult in tow. So, hey, bring them out. Play a little hooky. I didn't say that.
Yeah, what day is that?
That's a Tuesday.
It's a Tuesday. Okay, yeah. You said play hooky.
I think, you know, there's learning to be done. This would be an alternative learning opportunity.
That's right. That's the way education is today. It's customized.
Hey, it's all part of the STEM program.
Absolutely. And you know what? You know you're joking, but
there's
a lot of truth to that.
Let's do it.
There's a lot of
truth
to that.
Let's do it. Come on, school districts, jump in on this.
Absolutely. But yeah, so it's going to be exciting to have it here in Austin here again. But Les, you had some stories you wanted to talk about too. Like you have Zach Brown on IndyCar McLaren. Yeah.
You know, Zach Brown is dealing with the IndyCar series and some of the things that are around it as to why you know, so many of the sponsors around IndyCar would or would not be interested in Formula One. So there's a discussion. It's a whole different budget for one. And so that's where things are really different. But Zach Brown is really checking out and watching Fernando's comeback to the Indy 500. This is a big play in popularity for Formula One and IndyCar to have this guy show up. You know, twice a Formula One champion, but now he's come to Indy 500, which a lot of people around the Formula One world kind of sneer towards. But he's obviously talented. When he showed up, he performed very well up until the time the engine went poof. And then, you know, it was,
it was awesome.
Only 20 some odd laps from the end. And so I think this is a big deal. And honestly, I think it's going to parlay into Formula One fans looking at IndyCar more respectfully, and also IndyCar fans crossing over to F1 when they see Fernando really perform and they see him, you know, oh, that's an F1 driver. Wow, he's really good. I want to see more of that. And so I think it's going to cross-pollinate. I don't think either one of them is going to suffer from this.
You know, since the end of the Bernie era, F1 has way more embraced. I mean, you didn't say the words, and I know this from personal experience. You do not say the words IndyCar. You didn't say that to Bernie. You didn't mention it. I mean, and that was just his philosophy. And look, as much as you criticize him, we know a lot of the stuff he did worked.
Hey.
But the point is that both IndyCar and F1 are embracing the relationship. They are, both of them are, you know, they're talking about each other's series. So, yeah, that's definitely an interesting point.
Yeah, I think that's really going to be something that they're not adversarial, I think. Whereas certainly, and I know the interview you were talking about, we were sitting in together, there really was kind of a aloof, you know, kind of droll IndyCar. That's cute. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those kids are okay. You know, they're better than okay, Bernie.
Yes, sir. Yeah, absolutely. So let's see what else on the IndyCar front before we switch. There's some Formula One stories that I want to touch on too.
Yeah, I just think the excitement around it. We're starting to get more of it, and to be honest, y'all want to hang out. We're going to introduce you to a lot of the IndyCar drivers if you don't already know them over the coming months, and they're going to be joining us here.
Yeah, and you know what? We're working on some. There's bound to be some events, and we're going to try to work on some of those. We're possibly looking at doing one ourselves. You know, as you know, we've done some events for Formula One, and some actually that turned out pretty big. And so we're going to look at doing something for IndyCar as well.
That's right.
All right, let's talk some Formula One. We hadn't really
said arrivederci.
Arrivederci to arriva bene.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, what do you think about this? I have my. I'm going to throw mine, then I'm going to ask you. I think that, you know, Ferrari has had forever. They've had this, you know, you either it's almost like a either you win or you're dead kind of attitude. And yes, I know that's everybody wants to win, and different leaders motivate different ways. But Ferrari, it seems like it's always been this super serious. And if you don't win, then you know. You're out. They're just going to keep firing people until, and I don't know if that works in today's world or not. But it's just really, I know why they're letting him go because they didn't win. But I just don't know. And that was his style, also. I'm assuming because, you know, he just seems like that kind of leader. But
yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I think this is going to be. It's going to be fascinating to see what happens.
Okay, so the last time Ferrari had the Constructors title was 2008. And so here we are 10 years later, and there's been nothing. And, you know, it's... I don't know that I would say it's all Arrivabene's fault. I'm like, well, where's the technology? I mean, yeah, he may be the guy standing on the perch out on the wall, but seriously... What else have they been able to do? Mercedes came in, you know, with the combination of Adrian Newey out there with Christian Horner, and then you got Mercedes with Toto Wolff and the crowd around that. Those are tough competitors, and I just feel like
Well,
it takes more than the guy on the perch.
Well, yeah, you go back to the technology. They had the fastest car at one point during the season.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Their car was every bit as fast, if not faster, than Mercedes. And I've said it in multiple shows that Sebastian Vettel made some errors.
Absolutely.
No doubt. But I agree with you that it is the leader. Leadership is, because if you do have the right leader, maybe you can go to Vettel and figure out what's going on with him. And because I feel like it was a mental thing with Vettel, you know, with some of the antics that he had and some of the errors that he had. But it is, if you're not winning at Ferrari, the heads are going to roll.
Well, and this was actually decided somewhat without stating so much, but Sergio Marchionne, who passed last year, had already kind of said, this is it. If you don't get it, it's done, as so much. And so, you know, it was interesting because Riva Bene kind of declined to comment. And, you know, I guess in American speak, it was fake news. But it was just one of those things that, he didn't intend to go anywhere. He was still marching forward. I think he felt like he had the reins and they may have been to the carousel horse. But that is it. I think it's done. I'm anxious to see what's going to happen when they bring in a new chief here, and we'll see the results soon enough.
And, you know, it is one of those things that's the part of Formula One, that you have a huge Ferrari fan base, and it's good for the sport when Ferrari is doing well. And having been so long,
it's good for the sales of Ferraris.
Well, that's obvious. Yeah. Yeah. I guess so. I'm assuming so, that it certainly can't hurt. But I think Ferrari sales have been pretty strong otherwise, you know, regardless of how they've been doing. But yeah, this is going to be a fascinating story to watch. There's a couple of the F1 stories, Les, I want to touch on.
Yeah.
One of those was, did you see Verstappen's day of public service?
Yeah.
At the Formula E race.
I'm sorry. I wanted to see him like they do in, you know, some of the areas around the U.S. where, you know, your service is walking along the county road with, you know, some kind of something bright colored vest on with a trash bag and a stick, you know, trash poking stick. I wanted to see that. This was weak, people.
Yeah, when they said it, I was reading the article and I was like, what are they talking about? What did he do? And supposedly that he was basically spending time with the stewards. That was his public service?
Yeah, really?
I that's funny. When you say public service here in the States, that's what I thought of too. I thought of him wearing a vest, walking down the side of the highway with a stick, poking up trash and put it in a bag.
Yeah, I want to see that. I want to see him scrubbing graffiti. You know, I want to see all those kinds of things.
I know, but I mean, considering, you know, this all stems back from him with the shove in back.
Esteban Ocon.
Yeah, yep. Ocon. So yeah, that's what all stems back. Obviously, it's not a criminal offense where he wouldn't be out on the side of the highway, but still, I thought that was pretty funny.
That was weak. That was just weak.
Yeah. There was a story that I saw out there about how the redundancy plans would be a major distraction for some of the top F1 teams. Did you see this story at all, Les?
I heard it mentioned on one of the podcasts, but I did not really dig into that.
I don't know. It just, one of the stories, that the headline here says, Renault believes that the distraction of Formula One's top teams needing to make redundancies when the budget cap kicks in could be a help for those smaller outfits trying to catch up. And this is actually on motorsport.com, but I don't know how. This is an interesting viewpoint here, because, you know, we've got potential cost restrictions coming for 2021 that could change that. And, you know, the budgets that Renault has and some of the other teams, they're so dramatically different.
Oh, sure. I mean, my gosh, Mercedes talking about their $150 million budget is, you know, not achievable. What?
Yeah.
Look further back in the field.
Yeah. It's going to be a fascinating. Well, look, we're coming up on the break bump here. Let's go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we are going to talk about the Toyota Racing Series. Jonathan has sent us some interviews down there from New Zealand, and we're going to have a couple of those drivers on. Listen to Speed City here in Austin, Texas, back after these messages.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
Hey beer people, it's Christine Sellis.
And I'm Daytona.
Sellis Brewery is back in Austin and brewing again.
Oh, Sellis doesn't ring a bell for some of you?
Well, for the last 17 years, we've been crafting the perfect comeback. We've returned to our roots with Sellis White, a famous local favorite.
Plus, we're creating some fresh new brews.
And whether it's the first time you've tasted our family's legendary beer,
or the millionth,
we're thrilled to be back.
Swing by your local store, watering hole, or our brewery, and let's catch up over beers.
Sellis, Austin's original craft brewery.
Talk 1370.
Roger Hayden, Factory Yoshimura Suzuki. This is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Welcome back to the show.
Oh, yeah.
Roger Hayden bringing us back.
Yeah, Roger.
There's a couple of little MotoGP things you threw in our show notes, Les.
So, you know, Danilo Petrucci and Andrea Dovizioso, Ducati Power Pack duo. This should be interesting.
Yeah.
You know, with Jorge out and Danilo coming in, this is going to be good. I'm really excited for this, to be honest, because Danilo's been doing really good on that second string Ducati, if you will. And I am excited to see him step up and get the full support, full partnership behind him. I think that's going to be great. Another one, Suzuki team, Jean Mir and Alex Wren are teaming up now for Suzuki, and that's going to make an interesting pair. Mir has been doing awesome, and like I said, another chance for these guys that have been out performing well to step up and get full factory support. So Suzuki and Ducati are going to be out there. I think Honda better be paying attention.
Yeah. You know, we've been talking about Indy coming to Austin and getting so excited about it, but it's right after that. So Indy's March 24th, but then MotoGP, the race on Sunday is April 14th, so it's like 3 weeks later. So we got some serious springtime fun up here, because you know, the Blancpain World Challenge March 1st at COTA. And, you know, so the order would be the IndyCar training on February 12th, practice, and then Blancpain and March 1st and 2nd, IndyCar March 22nd, 24th, MotoGP 12th and 14th. So the spring in Austin is going to be awesome.
Revving it up, for sure.
All right, Les, you wanted to talk about Ross Brawn.
Ross Brawn is
head of Formula One's operations.
Yeah, you know, he is, he's made some changes, and they're difficult changes. In how the teams are being dealt with. One of the things, he wants closer racing. We all want to see that. He wants better looking cars. We're already seeing that start to come through. And he's wanting to address financial payouts. And so that's part of it as well. But the other thing is, he's trying to go through and figure out this budgeting. How do you budget somebody that builds their own technology and all of that, when they can say, you know, they've got someplace else to say where they spent their money? And so, you know, it's, you got to have a level of trust, but that is not necessarily something they do in the paddock. So, you know, some of it is how that's doing it. For one, I'll say I'm pleased with the way he's handling things. He's not just handing it in a dictatorship role, that he is including conversations with the teams, the technology people, the drivers. He's got all of that involved. He's made good progress, but he's already shown frustration in that he's not getting his changes rolled out as fast as he would like. And that's because he is trying to be so considerate of everyone in the paddock. So,
yeah,
I'm really stoked with that. You know, he's trying to address especially the midfield, or the Formula 1.5, as Gene Haas calls it. He's trying to work that through and reduce the gap between the three and the rest of the field. It's, you know, I mean, we've said it here. We've heard it different places. It's almost as if they're in their own race back there. You know, there's some things last season. I am still really intrigued by this discussion about getting rid of blue flags. That just really intrigues me because of this situation. It's the best of the rest. Well, they're in solid race as much as anybody, and their budgets are so tight. So taking away that flag, you just said, well, we're not going to tell you to let the faster cars go by and let y'all sort it out on your own. I really do think there's some merit to that.
Well, we'll see what happens. Ross Brawn is, he's a really interesting guy to listen to. If you go back to our SoundCloud, you need to go back and listen to that. We have a fantastic, it's really kind of exclusive. It was done at a radio station down in New Zealand, but they let us have that. It's on our SoundCloud account. Go check that out. All right, let's talk about the Toyota Racing Series. Jonathan Green, our third wheel, is down there right now and doing the television commentary for them. He's done it for several years, many years, actually. And he sent us a couple of interviews. And this first one is Liam Lawson. And Liam is actually one of the kids that's from New Zealand and is 16-year-old. And this guy has competed in Australia, Germany, here in the U.S. But he is now, this is his first time in single-seaters, actually in his home country. But let's hear this interview that Jonathan Green did with Liam Lawson.
Okay, Speed City fans, I'm with the first winner of the 2019 Castrol Toyota Racing Series, and he's from New Zealand. His name, Liam Lawson. Congratulations. You started from the front row, so it's a good place to start, but from there on in, you didn't look back.
Yeah, no, it was really lucky to start off the front row. My main focus the whole lead up to the race was to get the start and just try and get to the first corner first, because it looked like it was going to be a hard track to pass on. Obviously, it's first time for everybody, so it was interesting. But you know, I was lucky enough to do that, and then from there on, the car was just really, really good. Every lap was the car was getting better. Balance wise, we're getting better and better. And I just had to drive around the car. The team gave me an awesome car to drive, so it was a pretty cool experience. Obviously, I've been wanting to do the series for a lot of years now. Last year, I just missed out, so it was really frustrating watching. But it's definitely worth the wait to now finally get it done.
I mean, I know this was the plan, but I mean, you must be pinching yourself. I mean, that was a dream start. I mean, you didn't just win. You got fastest lap on 6, 7, 8, and 9. What was going on inside the cockpit?
Yeah, I mean, I was hoping to do something like this. I wasn't expecting it for sure. It was, I was hoping for at least, you know, to try and fight for podiums at the start. As soon as we got the start, it was just, the car was just so good. So sitting fastest lap was just down to the car, I think.
And also beating the likes of Marcus and Lucas Auer, two very established international drivers, that's got to fill you with confidence for the next 5 weeks.
Yeah, it definitely does. I mean, I was hugely nervous before the race to go up against Marcus. You know, it's his third season, so he's got a lot of experience in this car. I knew it was going to be really, really tough to try and compete with him, and same with Lucas, and also Hyman. I mean, he's been racing in like GP3 and stuff like that, so it's I was definitely very nervous, but it's nice to get the first one out of the way, and hopefully we can carry on with some more.
Friends and family here to celebrate with you?
Yeah, my parents have come down, and some of my sponsors and friends have come down, so it's it's really, really cool to have them here watching.
It's got to be pretty surreal for a 16-year-old Kiwi, because you grow up racing here, everybody knows you. I was talking to a girl in the cafe, said, I've known him since he was a little boy, and they were all watching. But, you know, you're obviously not aware of that, but it must be pretty weird that now you're on an international stage, but you're still here at home.
Yeah, that's why it's so cool to have a series like this in New Zealand. You know, racing overseas this year has been awesome, but it's a huge learning curve. So it's really nice to come back home and have the support from home. You know, it was hugely emotional to win a race in New Zealand like this, so it's really, really cool.
Now you got to keep it up. What have you and your engineer been cooking up for tomorrow and the feature race and race two?
So far we've only gone through a little bit of balance of what the car was like, but we'll go do podium, and then we'll sit down later on tonight and really go through the details to focus on going a bit quicker. Obviously, you know, the race pace was really good, which is good, but we still had a little bit to find in quality, so we'll go more deep into that tonight. But super happy.
And for our fans in the USA, it might be the first time they've heard your name, so give us some social or places to find you so we can start to follow you.
Yeah, obviously Instagram, Facebook, it's just Liam Lawson. Other than that, I'm not really sure.
Hey, you don't need it. We'll find you. Congratulations, Liam Lawson, on your first win here in the Toyota Racing Series.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right. Yeah, it's exciting young kid.
Young talent coming up.
Yeah, I mean, that is what the Toyota Racing Series is all about.
I love it. Can't we get something like that up here?
Yeah, I love the fact that it's an off-season thing.
Yeah.
You just want it because you want 24.
I want everything right here.
You want 12-month racing.
I want everything right here.
Hey, why not? Well, all right. Well, Jonathan sent us another interview with an American. And in fact, he's done really well. This interview was done a couple days ago before Cameron Doss is who this interview is with. And Cameron was on the show not too long ago, just a couple weeks ago.
Another great talent.
Yeah, young American talent. Well, there's three Americans in the Toyota Racing Series, and Cameron is one of them. And he finished I watched race two yesterday. And Cameron finished sixth in that race. But let's go ahead and hear this interview with Cameron Doss that Jonathan did yesterday.
Well, Cameron, first session, so it's good to, you know, get the cobwebs out. How is it experiencing the first time here at Highlands?
Yeah, the track is amazing. I mean, we did the track walk last night, and I was pretty excited after doing that. I mean, turn three, the quick chicanes they have here are like, they're proper on the limit. But this session was really just trying to get a feeler for the car again. We were on really old tires, and it was a good learning experience. I mean, it's definitely different than an F3 car, or the one I've been driving the last year. So it took a few laps to get used to it again, but I feel like I'm getting the rhythm pretty quick.
It's almost exactly a year since you drove this kind of car. How much has your racecraft improved in this year in 2018, last year, helped you to get to this point?
Oh, it helped tremendously. I mean, TRS last year really prepped me for Euro Formula after that. And I think Euro Formula then, again, prepped me for this season in TRS. So I feel a lot stronger than I did 12 months ago.
Just testing at the moment. It's nothing to write home about yet. But you've got your head down and you feel confident?
Absolutely, yeah. Super confident.
And you got another session this afternoon before we get into the real thing?
Yeah, we got practice starts in FP2 this afternoon.
Best of luck.
Thank you.
All right, so Jonathan's down there. He's going to be down there for the next several weeks and watching that and giving us reports. And he'll be back on the show occasionally. Just depends on the timing of when they've got racing and when he has to sleep. And they're like a day ahead and 5 hours behind or something like that.
Yeah,
the usual stuff. But all right, we got to wrap it up. Make sure you listen next week. We're going to have continuing coverage of IndyCar. I think we're going to have some IndyCar guests. Check us out on our website, speedcitybroadcast.com. And of course, our social, Facebook, Twitter, and everything else. And we will talk to you next week.
Ciao, y'all.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but... Scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over. And I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh?
Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.